Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 13 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. You might prefer simply noting the second to last narrow line of the Gemara. We continue with a quote from the Mishnah, Schir Shois Goive Kol Halayla V'Chol Hayom. A person hired for work that would take a couple of hours, his time period for collecting his wages are for during the night and the day. Now that's a literal translation, and when we learned the Mishnah, we also noted that Rashi there said, wait for the Gemara. And that's what we're about to do now. On the side in the margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, one of the special features of the marked Gemaras, the Shas Ozer. And the title heading reads, the topic heading, that is, Machloikis Rav Shmuel. We will see a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel. Their names are circled in the Gemara. Binyan Schir Shois Delaila, someone who is hired for working for a few hours at night. Mosai Goiva, when does he collect his wages? Umemela Mosai Over Hamaasikoi Mishum Itashlum. And what would result from knowing when he has a right to expect payment, that also will determine when the employer, if not compliant, if he doesn't pay, when will he, the employer, be in violation of one of the mitzvahs that we spoke of in our previous shiur, either Baal Tolin or Yomoti Tein Scharo. L'Rav, according to Rav, Gove Kol Halayla, if he were hired to do work during part of the night, he has the balance of the night in which to insist on payment. In other words, that's the expected time period during which the owner will pay the worker. Once again, during the hours that constitute the balance of the night. According to Rav, then, if the owner doesn't pay, the employer doesn't pay him by sunrise, the employer will be in violation of non-payment. L'Shmuel, who disagrees with Rav, says, Kol ha'layla v'chol hayom, the balance of the night plus the entire daytime that follows. So according to Shmuel, says there's greater leniency on the employer. He has more time in which to pay before being in violation of non-payment. In the course of the Gemara, we will notice a volcano shape. Those constitute kushios al Rav, questions from Tanaic sources directed against Rav. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav, Schir Shois Diyom, someone who was hired from early morning till midday, so he's hours, he's hired to work several hours during the day, Goive Kol Hayom, his work period ends at midday in this particular example, at that point the obligation to pay kicks in. We spoke of this in our previous shiur, in which we said Eino l'sfiris ela l'besof, that payment for workers sets in only upon their completion of their job, and here he completes his job at midday, so at that point the obligation to pay appears or kicks in, and as a result, the employer must pay before sunset, which in the pasuk you see lo savo olav hashemesh. Schir shows Delilo, the Gemara continues, someone hired to work part of the night, goyve kol alaylo, and the result of that is he has the right to demand payment during the balance of the night, and if he's not paid by dawn, Rashi speaks in terms of Amud HaShachar, then the employer is in violation of Baal Tolin. Baal Tolin, once again, is the reference to the Pasuk that says that you shall not have the night go by without paying the worker due his wages. Ushmuel Omar, the next opinion in the Gemara, Schir shows diyom, gova kol ayom. In that sense, he is like Rav, the hourly worker who works part of the day. He has the rest of the day during which to demand payment. Uschir shows delayla, the worker who works several hours during the night, gova kol halayla. And here we dashed underline the main point, the point of difference between Rav and Shmuel, v'chol hayom. According to Shmuel, the day follows the night, so the payment obligation on the part of the employer is through the balance of the night after the work was completed and the rest of the following day, daytime. Violation will set in, as far as the employer is concerned, only at sundown following that next day. Now we have a Tanaic source, our Mishnah, Tanan. In our Mishnah it said, Schir Shois Geve Kol Halayla V'chol Hayom. So we see, and we'll say according to the simple reading of the Mishnah, an hour a worker has night and day in which to demand his wages, something that would sound very much like Shmuel's approach. Tiufta de Rav, does this represent a refutation of Rav? Omar loch Rav, so Rav answers, litzdodin katani. The Mishnah is very terse, and it actually reflects two cases. One to the, litzdodin means to two sides, literally. This side and that side. But what do we mean in practical terms? So here the Gemara reads the Mishnah as far as Rav is concerned. Schir shois diyoim goive kol hayom. So in the Mishnah there was reference to schir shos, and we add schir shos of the day collects and all through during the balance of the day. And that in the Mishnah was appeared in the with the words v'chol hayom is a reference to this schir shos diyom, and schir shos delayla goive kol halayla. That's the Mishnah's reference to kol halayla was a reference to this other case of the schir shos delayla. So the Mishnah litzdodin katani writes in both sides a schir shos diyom and a schir shos delayla, and each one having the balance of that time period in which to collect the wages before the employer would be in violation. Tanan, hoya schir Shabbos, schir chodesh, schir shana, schir shavua. This too we saw in our Mishnah. He was hired for a Shabbos. A Shabbos would mean a week, a month, a chodesh, a year, or shavua, a period of 7 years. And when is the payment due to these people? So it says Yotze b'yom goyve kol hayom. If the end of the work period is during the daytime hours, he collects during the balance of the day. Yotze b'layla goyve kol halayla v'chol hayom. If he left, if he his work complete was completed by night, he collects the of that night and the following day. Now that is clearly unlike Rav. Omar loch Rav. Rav responds, Tanoihi. The issue of how to view a sochir laila, sochir shos of laila, is a machlokis tanoim. the Sanya, Schir Shois Deyom Goyve Kolayom. So Schir Shois Delaila Goyve Kol Halaila. They're very Rabbi Huda. Well, that is straightforward, like Rav. So Rav has a Tanaic authority upon whom to base his opinion. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Schir Shois Deyom Goyve Kolayom, Schir Shois Delaila Goyve Kol Halaila Vicholayom. That's not like Rav, that's like Shmuel. So Shmuel parallels Rabbi Shimon. Mikan Omru, from here we say, call a kovesh schar sochir, he who does not pay his worker, who kovesh, literally, he suppresses payment, or denies payment of his workers. Oiver bish chamesh shemos v'asei halolu. There is violation of five sins that appear in the negative form, thou shalt not form, and one positive command that would be violated. And here the source lists them off. If you look carefully, then over the next two lines, you'll see a numbering scheme, and in the middle of the next line, you see the word asay. So we have a list of violations, it's presented first four negative violations, then a positive command that would be violated if he's not paid when it's due, and then the fifth negative violation. And here they are. Mishum bal tashok es reecha. Umishum bal tigzol. The word bal is like the word lo. Do not do this. Do not be oshake your friend. Oshake is a term associated with withholding wages. Do not steal. Ubal tashok sochir. Oni. Umishum bal tolin. Now, those are four negative commands. As we indicated, the word bal means do not do these things. We explained already bal tolin has to do with that which is left in your possession throughout the night without paying your worker. And a positive command, umishum b'yomo titein scharo, pay him on the day that he did his job. Umishum loy savoy olav hashemesh, don't have his wages in your possession, and the sun then sets. The Gemara asks, how can you say that someone who doesn't pay his workers is in violation of all of these? Hani de'iko b'yomo leko b'layla. Those that apply to a daytime worker, meaning someone who completed his work at the end of the day, don't apply to those who are nighttime workers. De'iko b'layla, those verses or commands that apply to a nighttime worker, leko b'yomo, don't apply to a daytime worker. So how can you say that someone who is koivesh schar sochir is in violation of all of these commands? Some of them are applicable only to one case, and some of them are applicable only to the other case. Omar Rav Chisda, shame schirus bialmo. What the source is telling us is that in the realm of non-payment of wages, there exist five negative commands and one positive. It is, of course, true that with regard to a specific kind of worker, i.e. a daytime worker or a nighttime worker, a number of violations that one would be transgressing is less than this complete list. Eizehu oishek v'eizehu gezel. Here we want to know the definition of these words in the context of our discussion. We said that there is a violation of the lo sa'ashok, do not do that. Here I can't translate the word, that's the point of the Gemara. And there is the term gezel. Now the term gezel is a term that we're very familiar with throughout the Torah, thou shalt not steal. What is the relevance of stealing, of theft, with regard to this topic of workers' wages? There's a Rashi a few lines down from here, toward the lower part of the narrow lines, we have a star in the Rashi to help you find it a little more easily. Gezel, mashma, implies she'ansoi biyodoi miyodoi mamish. It implies that there was force that you physically exerted to extract something from his possession, more so than oishek. Dichtiv, the posuk that deals with or uses the word gezel says vayigzol esachanes miyan hamitzri. It's not important right now who is involved in the storyline there, but it says he stole the spear from the hand of the Mitzri, of the Egyptian. What does that mean in this context? And v'chein devalei Shechem vayigzlu es kol asher yavor aleihem baderech. Again, you see the word gezel in the context of forced taking from someone's possession. When we look in the Gemara, we didn't point out, but I guess it's obvious because you're using the mark Gemara, you saw a slash mark just before the Ezu Oshek, indicating this is a new trend of thought, though we are referring to that which was mentioned just above. The words appeared, Oshek and Gezel. There is a triangle marking scheme that follows, and on the side, in the margin, topic heading, the Nosei slash Mivneh heading appears. You see a triangle pointing up, Gimel Deos v'mahu Oshek v'Gezel, and the inverted triangle, when it appears, is a rejection of that which was just said. Well, whether it's a partial rejection or a total rejection, that will become more obvious in the Gemara text. There's another marking that highlights the terms, the words, Dumya de Picotto. We are going to be referencing a posuk. We've included it, the posuk on the side in the margin, Vayikra, Perik Hay, Posuk Chof Aleph. And in that posuk, you see all of these words. It says there, let's read the posuk together, Nefesh ki secheto, Umwal omal b'shem v'chichesh b'miso. The posuk refers to someone who swears falsely and denies. What does he deny? B'pikodon, o b'tsumes yad, o b'gozel, o oshak es amiso. So in this posuk you see a reference to a pikodon. That's an entrusted article. Maybe you're familiar with the topic of shomrim, of baileys that are given something to watch. And Tsumes Yad is a term we don't have to deal with immediately. We don't have to deal with this in our sukya. But you have also the words Begozel O Oshak Es Amiso. And so in this posuk you have reference to things, and when they all appear together, there is an assumption that we compare one to the other. And that's why we've highlighted the term Dumyo de Picoto. Now the Gemara. We asked, Ezu Oshek v'Ezu Gezel, Omar of Chisda, Lech Vashov, where an employer says to the worker, go today, come back tomorrow, and I'll pay you then. And then the same thing, he does that again and again. Zehu Oshek. That is an illustration of Oshek. Number two, Yesh Lecha Biyadi V'Eini Noisein Loch. I have that which is due to you, and I'm not giving it to you. In other words, an employer has the wages ready to pay the worker, and he says, well, I know I owe you the money. I'm not giving it to you. Zehu Gezel. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes. Ezu, Rav Sheshes asks, Ezu Oshek Shechaiva Olav Torah Korban. What is Oshek that the Torah will insist on he who is in violation of Oshek, swearing falsely and then admitting that eventually he'll have to bring a sacrifice for Oshek? Dumyo de Pikodon. It has to be something similar to the case of Pikodon. De Kokofar Le Momona. where he is denying owing something of of money substance, of financial value. In Rav Chisda's presentation of Oshek, we didn't see any denial of of something of a momo nature's denial of money. We just saw an employer pushing someone off, delaying, we'll say, come back tomorrow, I'll pay you then. No denial, though. In the case of Pikadon, an entrusted article, it's an assumption, it's a given that a case of Pikadon, which would result eventually in the violator bringing a sacrifice, would have entailed the denial of money, of something of value, denial of having received the entrusted item from the owner. Similarly, we expect the Oshek example to be thusly, denial of money. I want to point out that Rav Sheshes, in asking on Rav Chisda, is asking only on point one of Rav Chisda. He's not bothered by point two of Rav Chisda that dealt with his definition of Gezel. Right, that point comes up later in the Gemara. You'll notice on the side of the Gemara text, on the left-hand side of the Gemara text, there are arrows. If you drop down a few lines to the second arrow, there the Gemara asks, in the middle of the line, Rav Sheshes, Maishna Oishek de Kashile, Maishna Gezel de Lo Kashile. According to Rav Sheshes, why was he bothered by Rav Chisda's definition of Oshek and not bothered by his definition of Gezel? And we're pointing that out right now. Now let's go on in the Gemara. Elo om Rav Sheshes. So after asking on Rav Chisda, Rav Sheshes comes up with his pirush. Number one, nosati vloch, an employer says, I gave you your wages, zehu oishek, when in fact he didn't. So there you have a denial of money. It says, I gave you, and you have no further claim on me of that money. I gave it to you already. Yesh lecha biyadi veini noisi noach zehu gezel. I have it, and I'm not giving it to you. That is gezel, and in that sense, Rav Sheshes, his point number two is just like Rav Chisda's point number two. Maskif lo abaye. Abaye raises an objection on the gezel definition. Ezehu gezel shechayvelov Torah korban. What is the case of gezel that would ultimately result in the violator bringing a sacrifice? Dumya de pikadon boinon. We need the case of gezel also to be like the case of pikadon. Once again, gezel appeared in the same verse. We read the verse earlier together with pikadon. So we expect that the characteristics of gezel referred to in the verse that features a violator and eventually bringing a sacrifice would have the characteristics of the pikadon denial. The word in the pasuk, by the way, the chichesh ramisa, means he denies to his friend. So what is the denial of an entrusted item? The kofar le mamona, where there's a denial. I dashed on my kofar, denial of money. In the examples or the definitions of gezel that we've seen given by Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes till now, there wasn't any denial. In fact, he was conceding, I have your wages, I'm just not giving it to you. We don't see denial, though. We don't see a case where, like in the case of Pikadon, where the shomer would falsely say, I never received anything from you, or I gave it back and you have no further claim. That's denial. Where is there denial in the example of gezel that we were taught? Elo Omar Rav Sheshes. Elo Omar Abaye. So Abaye, he presents his definitions of Oshek and gezel. Number one, Lo Sochartich Meolam, Zehu Oshek. I never hired you. Total denial. In other words, you have someone that did a job, and the employer says, I never hired you. That's Oshek. And now, Nosati Vloch, what we saw till now as we saw in, under Rav Sheshis, we had his definition of Oshek is now Abaye's definition of Gezel. Nosati Vloch. I gave it to you already. You have no further claim. Again, denial of Mamon Zeh. Who? Gezel. The Gemara asks, Ula Rav Sheshis, my Shna Oshek de Kashile. According to Rav Sheshis, he raised the question with the, remember we have that, the crown shape, where the Dumya de Pikodon necessity of comparing to Pikodon arose. And as far as Rav Sheshis was concerned, that became an issue only with regard to Oshek. Why, by Oshek, is Rav, does Rav Sheshis raise a question? Umayshno Gezel de lo Kashile. As far as Rav Chisto's definition of Gezel, that didn't bother Rav Sheshis. But according to Rav Chisto's definition of Gezel, you didn't have a denial. You didn't have the Dumya de Pikodon aspect. So why was Rav Sheshis bothered only by Rav Chisto's Oshek definition and not bothered by Rav Chisto's Gezel definition? Of course, we saw Abaye. He was bothered by the that Gezel definition. So now, the more answers. Omar Loch. Gezel. In the case of Gezel, de Gazle v'hodar kafre. Rashi, on the third line under the Gemara text, says, de Gazle v'hodar kafre, kolzman shelo tovoi bebezdin, elo beino levein atzmo, hoyo gozlo, before they appeared in court, when they were confronting each other, employer and worker, the employer was stealing and saying, "Eini no sein loch, I'm not giving you your wages." Ukshetavai bebeizdin, and when the claim appeared in the in court, kofar v'nishba, he denied owing the money and swore falsely to that effect. Ula oilam gezelo ikri elim kain oimerlo eini no sein loch. And in order to be in violation of gezel, you have to hear the employer saying, "I am not giving to you. I am not paying you." So we see in Rav Sheshis' understanding of Rav Chisto's gezel definition, there was a an acknowledgement of owing the money and then a subsequent denial. I speak of an acknowledgement of owing the money in the sense that, as we just saw in the Rashi, outside of court, he was saying, "I am not giving it to you." So that enables us to, we'll say, start the definition of Gezel. He admits the existence of the debt and says, "I'm not giving it to you." And then in the court there is a denial. So we have a definition of Gezel that is similar to the case of Pikodon. The Gemara now asks, Ihachi, if that's Rav Sheshis' understanding of Rav Chisto's Gezel, then afilu oishek nami dehodar kafre. Why wouldn't Rav Sheshis understand the example of oshek in a similar fashion, where the employer says, "Go today, come back tomorrow," and then in court he denies it? Rashi, I hochi oishek nami nukme kirav chisto belech vashuv. Stick with Rav Chisto's definition of go today, come back tomorrow. Udekashia loch shvua hecha. And then you would have asked, if that's all, then where does the shvua kick in? Shvua, we didn't emphasize this before, but the shvua is an oath that has part and parcel of it a denial. Otherwise, there would be no sacrifice that would be necessary. So you have to have an oath involving denial. With Rav Chisda's definition, we were troubled by there wasn't any denial. So where does the shvua figure in? So kigon dehadar kafre. He then denies. Then later there's a denial. So why couldn't Rav Sheshes suggest that understanding of Rav Chisda's definition of Oshek? Why was Oshek a source of problem for Rav Sheshes vis-a-vis his understanding of Rav Chisda? The Gemara answers, Hochi Hashtab. How can you compare the case of Gezel to the case of Oshek in terms of the Pasuk? Bishlama Hasam Ksiv O Begezel. If you look closely at the Pasuk, it said V'chichesh Bamiso B'pikadon O B'tzumas Yad O Begezel. So the case of the word Gezel was introduced with the word Beis O Begezel. The Beis indicates Michlal. From this we can infer the Oidi Le Meikara. There was first a admission, and then there was a denial. Avol Gabi Oishek Miksiv O Beoshek. Do you see a Beis introducing the word Oshak? No, there you don't have the Beis introducing it. O Oshak Siv She Ashkoi Kvar. Meaning that from the very initial contact, there was a response of denial. Now let us look into the Rashi. Hachi Garcinan, Hachi Hashta, Bishlama Hasam O Begezel Ksiv, V'chichesh Hashta. The word V'chichesh in the pasuk means he is now denying. Michlal. The oidilei meikara, that implies that there had been an initial admission. Klomar v'chichesh b'miso begezel b'ma shehoya gozlo ad ato b'toraz gezel, that which he had been, that means the employer had been dealing with the worker in gezel terms. We saw before, I am not giving you. That was the Gezel. So that which up till now was in those terms, Kichesh Achshav, V'kofar, he is now denying. Umikaidem Kichesh, Kore Gezel. Prior to the denial, we saw Gezel, we saw theft, once again, in his statement of, I am not giving you. Avolhocha Miksiv Ob Oshek, Denema. Does it say in the pasuk be'oshek that we would be able to say v'kichesh be'oshek de'meikara? He is now denying that which was oshek at the outset. O oshak ksiv. Here one has to be very sensitive to the grammatical nuances. It says he uses the term oshak in the past tense. Al yidei hakosha oshko, through denial. He accomplished Oshek. She'oshkoi kvar mashma she'hischil l'toiv oi. When the initial claim was made, where are my wages? Oshko bekisha. He, through denial, at the very outset, was guilty of Oshak. V'lo nikra Oshak al yedei dovor acher kodem kisha. And it's not it is not called Oshak through something else prior to the denial. So that in order for there to be a violation of Oshek, and this is what was bothering Rav Sheshes, there had to be an element of denial at the very outset. in Rav Chisda's definition, there wasn't denial at the very outset. In Rav Chisda's definition, there was, yeah, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Go today, come back tomorrow. Where do you don't see denial there. In Rav Sheshes' definition of Oshek, you see denial at the very outset. Yeah, he says, I have your money and I am not, I paid you already. What are you asking me for? I deny owing you anything. So his first contact, the employee's first contact with the employer, according to Rav Sheshes, as far as Oshek is concerned, total denial. I gave it to you already. I don't owe you anything. So it's in that spirit that Rav Sheshes could not give the same type of definition to Oshek as he gave to Gezel. And as far as Gezel is concerned, Rav Sheshes had no problem with Rav Chisda's definition of Gezel, because in that case there was initial acknowledgement of the money, but he says I have your money and I'm not giving it to you. And then later on, there was denial. That same model, though, could not have been applied to Oshek, as we saw from the grammatical nuances in the Pasuk. And Rav Chisda's definition of Oshek didn't involve any denial whatsoever. Hence, Rav Sheshes had to give his definition of Oshek. Hence, we understand why Rav Sheshes was bothered only by Rav Chisda's Oshek presentation. And we also understand Rav Sheshes' upgrading, so to speak, of what is meant by Oshek. Do you notice that we have a triangle around Rava, but it's a dash triangle? What's the difference then between Rava and that which we saw above? Rava will come also to address the terms Oshek and Gezel. However, you'll see in a moment he doesn't make a distinction between them. Rava Omar, Zehu Oshek, Zehu Gezel. They're one and the same as far as how to account for their violation, how to explain their violation. V'loma chilkan akasuf, if they're one and the same, then why are they split in the Torah? Why are they presented as separate things? Lav or lo, b'shnei lavin, so as to impose two violations for the one action. In other words, if one is guilty of Oshek, he's simultaneously guilty of Gezel. The Gemara doesn't elaborate on how they took place. What did the violator do when he did Oshek or did Gezel within Rava's presentation? Rashi also doesn't make any comments on that. So you would be left to make the assumption that Rava is adopting some aspect of that which we saw above, but once again that remains unclear as far as the Gemara text is concerned with the and the silence of Rashi on the topic. The Mishnah. Echad schar odom v'echad schar behemo v'echad schar kelim, whether it be wages owed to a person for work done or money owed to an owner of an animal that you rented, we'll say, that you hired, and you owe money for the behemoths, for the benefit you receive from the behemoth or from vessels, and you don't pay them. Yesh bo mishum biyomo titein scharo. There is a violation of that command. That we saw before, that was a positive command, that you, thou shalt give the wages due, or the fee that's due on that day, at the right time. V'yesh bo mishum lo solim bu asochir itcho ad boker. And there is also a violation of that pasuk. Amosai, and when are these violations applicable? Bizman shetovoy, when a claim was made. Lo tovoy, eino over olav. If there was no claim, then there is no violation. Himcheu eitzel chenvani o eitzel shulchani. If the person who owed the money, we'll call him the employer, who owed the money, directed the worker to receive his pay from a store owner or from a money changer, then there is no violation if in the event that the worker doesn't get paid. Let us take a look at Rashi, three lines from the bottom of the page. Himcheu niskoi me'atzlo, he detached, literally, he detached the worker from himself. And I said that's the literal definition of nisko. In other words, there was a connection between employer and employee, and the employer disconnected the worker from his own immediate obligation toward the worker, and vehemido eitzel chenvoni, and placed the worker by the store owner. Shehoya poel tzorach liknois peros me chenvoni. The worker needed to buy fruits from the store owner. V'omar lo balabayis lechenvoni, and the employer said to the store owner, Tain lo bedinor peros v'alai l'shalem, give him the fruits, a dinar's worth of fruits. Assume it. Now, for example, the wages equaled a dinar. That's a denomination of currency. Give him that amount in fruits. And v'alai l'shalem, and I will pay, so that the worker would be getting what's due to him in the form of fruits, and the payment arrangement is between employer and store owner. In that scenario, let's say the employer doesn't pay the store owner, that's of course sinful not to pay the store owner, but that does not create a violation of the above mentioned verses. Sochir bizmanoi nishba venotel. Just a word of general background. When we see shvuos, the need for taking an oath, in the, we'll call it the realm of financial matters, there's a Torah definition or a Torah standard which dictates that an oath is made in order to substantiate a claim of denial or a statement of denial, where a person says, how can you be claiming for me this, thus and thus? I don't owe you. I don't owe you that amount. The standard example is Moida b'miktsas. B claims from A, you owe me $100, and A says, I don't owe you $100, I owe you only $50. The other $50, I do not owe you. I paid you already, or I never took from you. So there's confession, partial denial. The oath taken by the individual who is admitting part and confessing part is an oath. It's a shvua to substantiate the denial. That's the Torah perspective on swearing, where you swear to substantiate a claim that involves denial. The Mishnah, though, makes reference to the worker, the employer, swearing, I didn't get paid, and you owe me thus and thus. So it's an oath which entails a claim of payment. You owe me money, pay me that which you owe me. That's not denial, that's the opposite. That's putting a claim in to receive. So the shvua there is an oath to substantiate a claim to receive, not a statement of denial. And therefore, you're dealing with a shvua that is the result of a rabbinic enactment. And the Mishnah says that a sochir, an employer, bizmano, the term bizmano has to do with within the time frame that the employer must pay the wages, which that time frame, as we said before, we can say after which the employer will have violated the Torah's requirements of Biyomoti Tetzcharo or Baltolin. So bizmana, within the time frame that an employer is expected to pay, a worker has a right to tell the employer, you know, you didn't pay me yet. And if the employer should try to challenge him during that time period, the worker, can swear you did not pay me and receive payment. Ovar zmano, if the time frame that we spoke about lapses, it's already the next day, 2 days from now, and the worker is still saying, you know, you didn't pay me. Ovar zmano. 2 days later, worker says, pay me. Employer says, I paid you already. Eino nishba venoto. Then the worker does not have that option of swearing and getting paid. Im yesh edim shetav oi, if the employee, the worker, has witnesses that in fact he did place his claim for receipt of wages within the required time frame, then even though we're now after that, the time has gone by, what this worker did is he activated the potential for swearing by having placed his claim on time. Ger Toshav. A Ger Toshav is an individual that lives in the land of Israel. He is not Jewish, but he has accepted upon himself, denial of idolatry. That's Rashi's definition. Ger Toshav, Shekibo Lov. Rashi at the bottom line says, Shekibo Lov Shelo Lavod Avodah Zarah. He's accepted upon himself not to be an idol worshiper. However, V'Oichel Nevelos HaTreifos, he continues eating, unkosher food. That's I think that you might find in other sources that a Ger Toshav is one who formally accepted upon himself the seven Noahide laws. And certainly that will include the denial of idolatry. So someone like that, Yesh Boi Mishum B'Yoymoi Titein Scharo, a Ger Toshav who is employed and the employer doesn't pay him on time, the employer will be in violation of that requirement that's found in Dvorim Perek Chof Dalid. V'ein Bo Mishum Lo Solin Pula Sochir Itcho Ad Boker. However, the violation referred to in Vayikra Perek Yutes that will not apply in the non-payment of a Ger Toshav. So don't get any wrong impressions here. The Jew who hires a Ger Toshav has to pay him. The question simply is, if he doesn't pay him, what violation has been violated? The Gemara, Moni Masnisen. Who is the author of the Mishnah? Lo Tanakama de Me Ochicha. The word Ochicha is the reference to, first of all, it's a word from the Torah, but it's more specifically a reference to a brisa that you see at the top of Omid Bey. So if you skip ahead to the top of Omid Bey, you see the reference to Me Ochicha, a quote from the Pasuk and a Tanaic source in which there appears a first opinion, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Yossi Rabuda, whose name you can see is underlined, who appears later. So our Mishnah, with its details, doesn't seem to parallel the Tanakama of that source. that you see on at the top of Amud Beis. Below Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda, who also appears in that source. My he, what is that source that you refer to? Desanya, you are that we now see a brisa. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. We can note immediately that we're making reference to a pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Chof Dalid, pasuk Yud Dalid. If you look at the side in our margin, you will notice a reference to that. We're going to very shortly we'll read the pasuk together. But before we do that, just by way of a general framework, you have a topic heading, Gimel Deos Tanoim. Do you see that in the margin? The Nose. There are three Tanaic opinions. Number Aleph is Tana de Mishnah Seinu, the Tana of our Mishnah. Number Beis, the second opinion, Tana Kama de Ochicha, the source we're about to read, and Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda. He's the third opinion in this scheme of things. A second issue that we will deal with, Al Mi Uma Mischaiven, who and for what will there be a violation? We'll speak about a behema, a cow, an animal, Kalim vessels, Ger Toshav. And we'll also deal with Al Ezo Averos, which sins are discussed. We have reference to Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel, Perek Yud Tes Posuk Yud Gimel, and Dvorim Perek Chof Dalet Psukim Yud Dalet and Tes Vov. Before we get into the Gemara, we want to familiarize ourselves with the Psukim. We've included them in the opposite margin, and it often is the case that it's beneficial at least to hear the Psukim before even going into the Gemara text, where the Psukim will be dissected and deciphered. So let's look at the Psukim together. Dvarim, in the margin, Dvarim Chav Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Pasuk says, Lo Yisashayk Sochir En Oni Ve'evyon Me'achecha O Migircha Asher Ba'artzecha Bisharecha. We've dealt extensively with this issue of Lo Sashok Sochir Oni. We're dealing with the denial or withholding of wages owed to the Oni and Evyon. These are different levels of impoverishment. Reference in that pasuk you can see to is Me'achecha, fellow Jews, and also a reference to Gercha, a sojourner. And pasuk Tezvav continues, Beyomo Titein Scharo. Velo savoy olav hashemesh ki oni hu the elov hu noise es nafshoi velo yikro lecho el hashem voye bochochi. The gist of the pasuk is you shall pay him on the day that the wages become due. Bear in mind that he's a poor man and he is dependent on you for receiving his money, and you don't want a situation where he doesn't get his money and turns in prayer to the Almighty, and that will leave the offender as a sinner. There's also reference in our Gemara to Vayikra, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and in that Pasuk it says, Lo Sheik Es Reacha, Lo Sigzoil, Lo Solin Pulas Sochir Itcha, Ad Boker. Again, the prohibition of withholding or denying wages to your fellow individual. The word re'acha, fellow man, would be very likely a fellow Jew. I think it's noteworthy that in the Dvorim quotation, the word sochir appeared, and in the Vayikra quotation, the word sochir appears. For that reason, we dashed underline the word sochir in both cases, and we'll come back to that point later on. Now, we turn to the Gemara. Bearing in mind that as we go through the first quarter of the page, we'll say approximately, besides the Brisa, we have to bear in mind authorship of our Mishnah. So we'll have to consider as we go through the Brisa, do these opinions look like anything we saw in the Mishnah? Obviously, we said no, because the Gemara already told us that there's a difference. The Gemara itself will spell out the difference. Some people like to guess as we go along. Can't hurt. So let's turn to the source. We see a quote from Dvorim Perech of Dalet Pasuk Yudad Mei Achecha. The Pasuk had said, Lo Sashik Sochir Oni Vevion Mei Achecha Prat Lachirim. This is to the exclusion of heathen idol worshippers. Whereas there is a violation of not paying a worker, that violation is applicable as long as he's classified as achecha, to the exclusion of a heathen idol worshipper. The pasuk said, gercha, do not withhold the wages, mi gercha, ze ger tzedek. If the person is a convert to Judaism, of course he becomes a full-fledged Jew. The word gercha is a reference to someone like that. A convert to Judaism is someone that must receive his wages on time, and if not, then the sin of lo sashok will apply. Bisharecha. The word bisharecha also appeared in that pasuk. Zeh, we're adding the word ger based on a girsa, the version that you can see in Rashi. Zeh ger oichel nevelis. That is what we explained earlier as a ger toshav. He's a sojourner. He's accepted upon himself the denial of idolatry. So with regard to someone like that as well, one will be in violation of lo sashok if you don't pay his wages on time. Ein li ela schar odom. Up till now, it would appear that you're dealing with wages owed to a person who performed services. Minayin the rabbi's beim of a kelim. From where do we know to include money owed to the owner of an animal or vessels from which you derived benefit, with the understanding that you would pay for that benefit? Of course, that's to the exclusion of a case of borrowing. But where you rented an animal or vessels, and the payment came due, there would be a violation of not paying for the benefit you received from the animal or vessels. From where do we know that the prohibition applies to them as well? Talmud Lomar Be'artzecha. Kol Shebe'artzecha. Be'artzecha means literally in your land. Anything that's in your land, not just services provided to you by workers that we enumerated already, the Ger Tzedek, the Ger Toshav, and actually a standard Jew, but also to the owners of an animal or vessels that you owe money for having received benefit from them. V'chulon oivrim b'chol hashemos halolo. Now here we want to emphasize, kulon means all of the people mentioned above, including the ger toshav. Not paying him will involve a violation. B'chol hashemos means all of the sins. In other words, no distinction between ger toshav and ger tzedek according to this opinion. And that is not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah made a distinction. Mikan omru, and from here we establish, from here they said, echot schar odom ve'echot schar behemo ve'echot schar kelim, whether it's money owed to a person or owed to an owner of an animal or vessels, yesh bo mishum b'yomo titein scharo v'yesh bohen mishum bal tolin pu'ulas sochir. Both of these violations or commands apply. If you look back at the Mishnah, and toward the end of the Mishnah, a mention was made of Ger Toshav. Regarding the Ger Toshav, our Mishnah said that Biyomo Titein Tzharo applies, but Lo Solin Pula Sochir does not apply. Here, in this source, when you look at the Ger Toshav, he's included with the rest. There is a violation of lo solen. Here it says baal tolen, but we said already baal is like the word lo. Lo solen pula sacher does apply. Hence, right away, even before we see the Gemara spelling it out, you see our Mishnah is not like the Tana Kama, like the first opinion. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudohimer, Ger Toshav, the sojourner, Yesh bo mishum biyomo titein tzchoro, v'ein bo mishum lo solen. Regarding the Ger Toshav and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah, he would be the same as our Mishnah regarding, again, I repeat, the Ger Toshav. Behemo v'kelim, ein bohen elo mishum bal tashok bilvad. The behemo and kelim were derived from the word ba'artzucha. That word, ba'artzucha, was in the posuk that said lo sashok. So as far as Rav Yossi Behuda is concerned, behemo and kelim, not paying for them on time, would result in one violation, bal tashok. What about our Mishnah regarding behemo v'kelim? Our Mishnah, right at the beginning, said whether it's schar odom, schar behemo, or schar kelim, they're all the same. There is b'yomo titein tzchoro, there is lo solen pula sochir ad boker, all kinds of additional sins in not paying for behemo and kelim. Rabbi Yossi Biuda doesn't have a list of sins. One sin, lo sashok, that's the only one. Money. So now we have to ask ourselves, who is the author of our unnamed Mishnah? Tanakama de Meachicha, if you think it's the first opinion in this Brisa, Kashya Ger Toshav. You would see a difficulty in the Ger Toshav, meaning our Mishnah said Ger Toshav is limited to the command of Biyomo Titein Tzchoro, but the other violation doesn't apply. And the Tana Kama of this source of Me'achicha says the other violation does apply to the Ger Toshav. E Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi means Rabbi Yossi Behuda, Kashya Behemah V'Kelim. He, Rabbi Yossi Behuda, has a very limited version of sin with regard to the non-payment due for benefit from Behemah V'Kelim. Our Mishnah has an expanded version. So our Mishnah can't be authored by Rabbi Yossi Behuda either. Omar Rova, Hai Tana, the author of our Mishnah, is a third opinion, Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, who is a Tana from the school of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, within the yeshiva, within the academy of Rabbi Shmuel, the following Tanaic source was taught. And it says, Echot Schar Odom, V'echot Schar Behemo, V'echot Schar Kelim. Notice all are put together here. Yesh Bo Mishum Biyomo Titein Scharo Mishum Lo Solin. Just like our Mishnah. Ger Toshav, Yesh bo mishum biyomo titein tzchoro, v'ein bo mishum baal tolin. Again, just like our Mishnah, with regard to the Ger Toshav, there is a limited amount of violation. And now the Gemara goes through the various opinions that we've seen. What is the basis of each one's conclusion? My taima de tanakama de me'achicha. What is the source or the reason for the first opinion in the Braisa at the top? Now, in that source, we saw the Ger Toshav paralleled with the with everyone else, and that means that all the violations, not just one violation, would be applicable. Where does the Tanakama get that idea from? The Gemara answers, Gomar Sochir Sochir. He has a Gezerah Shava. We tried to make hint to this or make reference to this earlier, and let us look together at the Rashi. The Rashi, you'll see, is seen a few lines down from here. Gomar Sochir Sochir. In Dvarim Perek Chavdalet Pasuk Yudalet, which had in it, by the way, a reference to the Ger Toshav. We saw that through the word Bishorecha. And it says in that Pasuk, Lo Sa Shoik Sochir. Emphasis on the word Sochir, right at the beginning of that Pasuk. Uksiv Bishir Yom, that's Vayikra Perek Yutes Pasuk Yud Gimel, Lo Solin Pula Sochir. Oh, so you see Bal Tolin there in Vayikra. Ma Kan Ger Toshav, Behema of the Kalim Israboi, just like in Dvorim Pasuk Perek Chavdalid, reference is made to the Ger Toshav. We saw that was the word Bishorecha. Behema of the Kalim was learned from Me Artzicha. Af Betoras Kehanim. Toras Kohanim is a reference to, it's another term that's used for Vayikra. Toras Kohanim means Vayikra Perek Yutes. Nami Ger Toshav Behem of Akelim, and so that they will be included in Lo Solin as well. Not just Biyomo Titein Scharo, which was in Dvorim Perek Chav Dalid, but we have a right now to include Lo Solin with reference to the Ger Toshav and Behemon Kalim. That's the basis of the Tanakama of Mei Ochicha. We continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, he, you'll recall, had a limitation with regard to Behemon Kalim. So he lo gomar sochir sochir. He doesn't have that tradition of a gzera shava between the two verses. The Gemara continues. Nehi de lo gomar sochir sochir. Granted, he doesn't have that gzera shava. However, behema v'kelim mishum biyomo titein schoro nami nechayev. So, granted that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda does not have the Gezeira Shava, and with that we can understand why Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda was limited in the, we'll say, the sins involved. We saw with regard to the Ger Toshav, which was limited in Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's mind to Biyomo Titein Scharo. Behem of Akelim was limited to Lo Sashok. And as a result of not holding from the Gezeira Shava, I understand that Rabbi Yosi Yehuda will not include Lo Solin. However, let's just read this again in the Gemara. Nehi de lo gomar sochir sochir. Granted that Rabbi Yosi Yehuda does not have that Gezeira Shava, but nevertheless, behemo v'kelim mishum biyomo titein tzharo nami nechayev. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda said a Ger Toshav is in violation of Biyomo Titein Tzharo. That was in Dvorim Perek Chof Dalet Pasuk Tezvov, coming on the heels of Pasuk Yud Dalet, which had in it Bishorecha, the means of including a Ger Toshav. Why then does Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to Behem of a Kalim, not have a violation of Biyomo Titein Tzharo? In as far as Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Behem of a Kalim, there was a limited violation of Lo Sashok, which was mentioned in Pasuk Yud Dalet of Dvorim Chof Dalet. Why? Once again, to repeat, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda was willing to say that the Ger Toshav will generate Biyomo Titein Tzharo, which was in Pasuk Tezvov. Why then Behema V'kelim? Is there no Biyomo Titein Tzharo? There's only Lo Sashok, which was mentioned in Pasuk Yudalit itself. The Gemara answers, Tani Rebbe Hananya, Omar Kro, that means Rebbe Hananya teaches, by virtue of a Pasuk, it says in Pasuk Tesvav, the Pasuk of Biyomo Titein Tzharo, It says, "V'loy savoy olov hashemesh ki orni hu." That's the pasuk of B'yomo titein scharo. Pay him on time, and don't allow the sun to set where you haven't paid him, because he is a poor man. Who is pasuk tesvav addressing? Mi shehein boyin lidei aniyus vashirus. That, or those that can experience poverty and wealth, that's relevant to a person. Yotsu, to the exclusion of behemoth kelim, shein on boyin lidei aniyus vashirus. You don't speak in terms of an animal or vessels that experience poverty or wealth. Therefore, the command of pasuk tes vav has no relevance to behemoth and kelim. And that's why Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda in the original source spoke about a ger toshav, sojourner. He is relevant. He has relevance to, wealth and poverty have relevance to a ger toshav. Hence, he is included in Biyomo Titein Schoro. But behemoth and kelim, not so. Tanakama, what about the first opinion in that source? And that Tanakama first opinion held behemoth and kelim are included in the Yomo Titein Scharo. Hi ki oni hu mai ovid lei. What does the Tanakama do with that phrase, which would have seemed to exclude behemoth and kelim? Answer: Hahu miboya lahakdim oni laoshir. I need ki oni hu to tell me that if an employer has limited funds and he can pay only one worker, but he had two workers, one a poor man, one a man of means, give precedence to the oni, to the poor man. For Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda, where does he learn that point from? He cannot use ki oni hu, he's used that up already. So where will Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda learn that point from? Give precedence to the oni. Ahu mi lo sashik sochir oni ve'evyon nafko. He will learn that from the words that appear in Pasuk Yud Dalid. Ki oni hu, that appeared in Pasuk Tes Vov. So Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda has the words of Pasuk Yud Dalid to tell me, give precedence to the poor man over the rich man. The Tanakama. Now when we turn back to the Tanakama, it would seem that we have two verses that tell me the same thing. Give precedence to the Oni over the Oshir. So the Gemara explains, as far as the Tanakama is concerned, Chad, one verse, Lahakdim Oni Loshir, V'chad Lahakdim Oni Levyon. One posuk is to give precedence to an Oni over an Oshir, and the other posuk, you could see in Pasuk Yud Dalid, it said, Lo sashig socher oni first, and then be'evyon. There is a difference between an oni and evyon. Even though, when you encounter these words in a superficial form, they both refer to impoverishment. However, the evyon is a more indigent individual, a more impoverished individual than an oni. He's lower on the income scale, on the wealth scale. And when you have two workers, one is an oni and one is an evyon, and you have limited funds, interestingly enough, you give to the oni ahead of the evyon, even though the evyon is more impoverished. Utsricha, and I need two sources, in both sources giving precedence to the oni over, in one case, the Oshir, and the other case, the Evyon. The Iashmin and Evyon, if you were to tell me in the case of precedence given to the Oni over the Evyon, I wouldn't have known giving precedence to Oni over Oshir. Why? Mishum de lo kosif lemitbei. The Evyon, let's put it in common terms, we would say you don't have to worry so much about the Evyon. Why? Will pay the oni, the evyon, he will not be embarrassed to seek out wages that are due to him. He is so impoverished that he has sufficient, we'll say, internal motivation to seek out that which is due to him, even at the cost of, we'll say, what other people would describe as embarrassment, he won't be embarrassed. In other words, he'll be able to fend for himself. Aval, Oshir, the Kosif Limitbei, if you have a money owed to a man, that is an Oshir, that's a man of means. If he's not paid, it would be embarrassing for him to demand payment, to seek out payment. So Amal, lo, I would have thought that in a case of an Oni versus an Oshir, I won't necessarily give precedence to the Oni. There's reason to be mocked in the Oshir, because otherwise he won't get that which is due to him. He would be so embarrassed to seek it out. V'yashmin an Oshir, and if I were to tell you, give precedence to the Oni over the Oshir, mishum delo tzorech lei. Well, the Oshir doesn't need it. He's a man of means. He doesn't need those particular wages. So in such a case, give precedence to the Oni, avol evyon. But a person who is so impoverished, even more than the Oni, that he needs those wages, he needs that money very desperately. Although, maybe there I would not give precedence to the Oni over the Evyon. Give first to the Evyon. Sricha, therefore, I need the two psukim to tell me not so. The Gemara now asks, Vitana didon, reflecting upon our Mishnah. Let us take a look, by the way, at Rashi, at the lower part of the narrow lines. V'tana didon, v'chein debei Rabbi Shmuel de Amru Travayu, not only our Mishnah, but also the school of Rabbi Shmuel, that we said is the basis of our Mishnah, that both said, behemo v'kelim akuhu, that all the violations are relevant to behemo and kelim, v'ger toshav les lehu, the Torah's Kehanim. Ger Toshav, on the other hand, is not included in that which it says in Sefer Vayikra. In our Mishnah, we noticed that the Ger Toshav was limited to Biyomo Titein Tzcharo, that was in Vorim Perichov Dalid, where reference was made to the Ger Toshav. He was not included in that which it says in Vayikra, the Lo Solon violation. So according to our Mishnah and the Tana De'Rabbi Shmuel, well, E Gomir Gzeira Shava, Rashi continues, if he has the tradition of the Gzeira Shava of Socher Socher, Afilu Ger Toshav Nami L'Chaybe Mishum Sfir Yom, we should have said that the Ger Toshav is also subject to, through the Ger Toshav, one would be in violation of what it says in Vayikra Perek Yutes regarding the Sechir Yom, that Lo Solin Pula Sochir Itcho Ad Boker. So now let's turn to our Gemara. V'tana Didon, reflecting on our Mishnah. Monafshach, either way you look at things, we're going to have a problem. E Yolif Sochir Sochir Afilu Ger Toshav Nami. Would Ger Toshav also should be Bebal Tolin. E lo Yolif Sochir Sochir, then Behemo Vekalim Mino Le. Where does our Tana know that regarding Behemo and Kalim, there is Lo Solon? Where does he know that there's Lo Solon as Shaiftim? Again, Lo Solon was in Vayikra Perek Yud Tes. So our Mishnah somehow makes a split between Ger Toshav, we won't include Vayikra Yutes, and Behemon Kalim, we will include Vayikra Yutes. The Gemara continues, Li'oilom lo yolif sochir sochir. He does not have the Gzera Shava. Now, if you say that he does not have the Gzera Shava, so I understand how the Ger Toshav is not included in Baal Tolin. The question then is, how come Behemo and Kalim are included? V'shayni hasam, the Omar Krob, the Posuk says there, in Vayikra, Perek Yutes, Posuk Yigimu, V'lo solim pula sochir itcho ad boker, Kol shepuloso itcha. Now that's an inclusive verse. so that even without the Gezeira Shava, I know to include in Lo Solon from Vayikra Yutes itself. Kol Shepula So Itcha, anyone whose work was by you. So not only Behemoth, not only a person, but Behemoth Kalim as well. So without the Gzeira Shava, I know to include Behemoth Kalim. If you're already in this inclusive mode, so then include Ger Toshav as well as being in a Shayach to Lo Solon. And why then did our Mishnah exclude the Ger Toshav from Lo Solon? Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, in Vayikra, Yutes, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Reacha, fellow Ger Toshav. I think we made an allusion to this earlier. Reacha, your fellow Jew, excluding a Ger Toshav. Well, Ihachi, Afilu Behemo, Vekelem Nami, an animal, vessels are not Reacha. So the Gemara says, but on the other hand, Hoksiv Itcha. And we said that was inclusive. Ma rois. So now at this point we've got like a push and pull situation. We've got Reacha excluding Ger Toshav alone, even though it could have potentially excluded Behemoth Kalim. On the other hand, you've got Itcha, which is inclusive of Behemoth Kalim, and you had room to think to include Ger Toshav as well. So Ma rois le rabos Behemoth Kalim lehotzi Ger Toshav. What is it that causes you to make a distinction that whereby we will include Behemon Kalim in Baal Tolin and exclude the Ger Toshav? The Gemara says, Mistabro Behemon Kalim Havilela Rabbis. It's most svoradic, it's most logical to say Behemon Kalim are included. Shekain Yeshnon Bichlal Mamon Reacha. Ger Toshav Eino Bichlal Mamon Reacha. Behemon Kalim are included within the realm of fellow Jew. Ger Toshav is not within the realm of the finances, the financial possession of a fellow Jew. He's a separate entity. He's a sojourner, a separate human being. And so with that, we understand why, well, even though you don't hold, our Mishnah does not hold from Sochir, and the result of that we saw already was that the Ger Toshav is attached or is shayach, is associated only with Biyomo Titein Scharo and not Lo Solin. And on the other hand, Behemon Kalim, they are referred to in Vayikra Yutes itself without coming on to the Gzera Shava, and hence they, Behemon Kalim, are included in Lo Solin. V'tano kamo d'me'achecho hai re'acho mai avdilei. The Tanakama of Achecho, that top brison of our Omid, that included Ger Toshav in the violations, including Baal Tolin. What about the exclusionary expression of Re'acho? What does he do with it? Mai avdilei. What does he do with it? Hahu miboyale lichedesanya. The Tanakam of Achecha will use Reacha for the following. Reacha velo amoleki. The prohibitions of withholding of wages applies to fellow Jew and not to the Amalekite, someone from Amalek. The Gemara asks, the exclusion of Amoleki me'achicha. Nafka me'achecha in Vorim Perik Chavdalet Pasuk Yudalet, you had the exclusion already from the word achecha. The Gemara answers. So now I have two exclusionary expressions. I've got achecha and I've got re'acha. Chad. So we answer one lemishra oshko, v'chad lemishra gezelo. One expression informs us that when it comes to an Amalekite, you are allowed to withhold his wages. Don't forget, And here we're going to explain things just according to strict translation. There is much, much more to research on this topic, but we're, in the course of Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, are not going to expand on this. However, just keeping to a very strict level of translation, I want to emphasize that there are many times in the Gemara, and when it comes to analyzing things in depth and looking into practical halachic applications, there's much more to say on the topic. We've always maintained throughout Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, that we do not intend to reflect upon actual applied halacha. So with that disclaimer in mind, I will allow myself the right to stick to a practical, literal translation. So with that disclaimer in mind, the reference to Amalek, the word Amalek is the name of a nation that was out to, historically speaking, was out to destroy the Jewish people and essentially war on the Almighty himself. And you know very well that the Torah has special laws regarding the Amalekites that emerge from what we just described, their extreme level of evil. So bearing that in mind, so if you happen to have had an Amalekite worker, with him you can withhold his wages. V'chad l'mishro gzeilu, and the other pasuk, remember we had Re'acha and Achecha, the other pasuk will entitle you to steal from him. Utsrichi, and I need two verses, even though we're allowing behavior that with regard to the rest of humanity. Again, I mentioned this in terms of a literal translation. If you want to research this further, then by all means do so. I mention all of these, I repeat this disclaimer time and time again, so as not to be, let's say, guilty of misrepresentation or mistranslation or misinformation. I'm saying things according to a literal translation only, so that we have two verses allowing behavior with regard to an Amalekite that you would not find with regard to the rest of humanity. One, the permission of withholding wages from the Amalekite, and the other, allowing theft from the Amalekite. And by the way, there is also extensive rabbinic discussion on the ability or lack thereof nowadays to even identify an Amalekite. Way back in historical terms, the Assyrian emperor Sanherib was involved with, in his conquests of various regions, was involved with population transfer, so that people that come from a particular region are not necessarily the indigenous individuals from time immemorial. So that it's very difficult to define in practical terms who is truly an Amalekite. So with that in mind as well, one verse is allowing the withholding of wages of an Amalekite, and the other one is allowing the theft from an Amalekite. Utsrichi, and I need two sources. Diashmin and Gizelo, had I told you about the permission to steal from an Amalekite, Mishum Dolo Torach Bey, he took something that he didn't invest any efforts in. So, therefore, in other words, the Amalekite has something that is in his possession. He didn't necessarily trouble himself over getting that. He may have inherited it, so he didn't invest energies in getting it. So that I can understand, you can take from him. However, Avoloshko, to withhold wages, to Torach Gabe Eimalo. He worked for it. He worked for his wages. He invested efforts for that. So maybe that's something that you cannot withhold. That you'd have to pay because of Torah Bay. V'yashmin and Oshko. And if the Torah would say that it's permitted to withhold the wages of an Amalekite, Mishum Dolo Osili Yode, It's not something that, that reached his hands, reached his possession. But Gzelo, taking something from his from him, something that he's already in possession of, maybe that wouldn't be allowed. Tzricha, therefore I need two sources that allow the withholding of wages from an Amalekite worker and the right to steal from an Amalekite individual. For Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Hai lo solim pula sochi tchad boker my ovid lay. We take a look at Rashi, for the end of the narrow lines, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, for Rabbi Yossi, Hai itcha my ovid lay. The marbi mine tana didon, from the word itcha, our tana included behem of a kelim, afal gav de gzeira shava logomer, even though the gzeira shava of sochir, he doesn't have that, and yet with behema, with the itcha, he was able to include. Again, I want to emphasize that itcha is a pasuk found in Vayikra itself, whereby I can include behema and kelim even without the gzeira shava. What about now that the Tanakhama included behema and kelim as far as additional prohibitions? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, if you recall, was exclusionary. What does Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda therefore do with the itcha word? Answer: Miboya le liche de Rav Asi. He needs it for the teaching of Rav Asi. The Yom Rav Asi, afilu lo sochroi elo lifso lo eshkol echad shel anovim. Even if you hired a worker to harvest one cluster of grapes. In other words, he is a sochir shos. He's not working a whole day. He's working for a limited amount of time on the clock. Even someone like that, oiver mishum bal tolin, there would be a bal tolin violation applicable to him. V'idach, our Tana, where does he learn that bal tolin applies to a sochir shos, to an hour worker? Miveelov who noiseyas nafshoi nafka. He learns it from that pasuk, which is found in Dvorim, Perek Chav Dalid, pasuk Tes Vav. We of course have that included above and read that pasuk earlier. And how does the Tanakhama? How does our Mishnah? That is, how does our Mishnah see from this pasuk the violation of bal tolin with regard to an hour worker? Dovar hamoiser nafsho olav. The iser of paying him on time, even though he's only an hour worker, is derived from the statement noiseyas nafsho, something that he has bound himself to. Rashi says, "Kol sheshibed atzmo olav." Any situation where he has bound himself to do something, so you must pay him on time. We continue at the top of Kuf Yud Beis. Ve'idoch Reb Yossi Reb Yehuda. What does he do with the Elov who noiseyas nafsho? He needs it for the following teaching. Why did this one, meaning the worker, in order to get his wages, he actually endangers his life. He climbs up ramps, he suspends himself from trees, He puts himself in life-threatening situations. Lo al sorrow, is it not to get his wages? And Rashi at the top says, "Vidachu miboyale lechasanyo lahanisho," to punish the employer who doesn't pay the worker, kilu hu noitel esnafsho, it's as if he, the employer, is killing him. Kidisanya, after all, in order to get the wages, this worker has endangered himself. So the receipt of the wages you might associate with his being able to save his life. If he doesn't get his wages, so it's as if the employer killed him. Dovar acher, ve'elav u'nosias nafsho. Dovar acher literally means another approach. Quoting the pasuk ve'elav u'nosias nafsho, kol ha'kevesh sar sochir, he who withholds workers' wages, ki'ilu noitel nafsho mimenu. It's as if he is taking his soul away from him, taking away his breath, his life breath from him. On the surface of things, and the impression that I get from Rashi, is that the first part of this source is focusing on the punishment due to the employer that withholds the wages. The second, the Dovar Acher, is using the pasuk to describe what the employer is guilty of, what he has done. Again, the beginning of the source explains the punishment that the employer deserves, and the second part of the source describes the act of the employer. Now, in this source, it says that anyone who is kevesh schar sochir, it's as if kilu noitel nafsho mimenu. There are pronouns, and regarding the pronouns in this last point, we have a disagreement between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Chad omar nafshoi shel gazlon, that in the withholding of workers' wages, the ultimate result is the life of the thief, of the employer, will be taken. V'chad omar nafsho shel nigzal. The description of the source is focused on the life breath of the victim. The nigzal means the one who was stolen from, the employer who did not receive his wages. Man di omar nafsho shel gazlon. The opinion that says that the source said, he who withholds wages from the worker, it's as if the thief's life will be taken away. That is based on the following. Dichtiv, al tigzal dal ki dalhu, v'al tadake oni bashar. Without a literal translation, the pasuk is saying, do not steal from the dal, from the impoverished. Do not oppress the poor man. Uksiv, and it says there, in the same context, ki Hashem yoriv rivam v'kava es kaveyam nefesh. For he who does oppress the poor, the Almighty will intervene and say, take over the claims of the poor man, and kava es kaveyam nefesh. And we look at Rashi, Rashi says, al tigzal dal ki dalhu v'al tadake v'chulei, afim dalhu v'ein lo ezer, even if he's poor and he has no one helping him, al tigzaleu, do not steal from him. V'echo me'arba l'shonus she'ki m'shamesh v'em'im. The word ki in the pasuk, ki Hashem, means like the word im, meaning that even if one is poor, the Almighty will take over. You'll notice a Rashi v'kova. The word v'kova, v'gozel. V'kova means, and he will steal, v'gozel es gozlehem. And he, the Almighty, will steal from those that steal from the poor. What will the Almighty take away from them? Es nafsham, their life. Shegormim hagazlonim ro liatzmon. The thieves bring upon themselves. The thieves, in this case, those who withhold workers' wages, are bringing evil upon themselves. So, to review, the Braisa said at the end, he who withholds wages from the worker, it's as if his life breath is being taken away. Whose life breath? The life breath of the thief. For he who steals from the impoverished, who withholds workers' wages, is deserving of death. Continuing the Gemara, Uman Domar, this is number two, Uman Domar, Nafsha Shel Nigzal, the opinion that says that the Pasuk is referring to the taking away of the life of the victim, Dichtif. The Pasuk says, Kein Orchis Kol Boitzea Betza Es Nefesh Be'olov Yikach. The ways of the thief is one of taking away the life of the owner, the one from whom you stole. So you're taking away the nigzal, the nigzal's life. When we say nigzal, we speak about theft. Bear in mind, we're talking in the context of withholding, at least with withholding workers' wages. So now we have two opinions, each one citing, or each one for each opinion, the Gemara cites psukim that support each opinion. Now, what does each one do with the other one's sources? The idoch nami hoksiv, the opinion that said the nefesh of the gazlon, the thief's life, is taken away. Hoksiv, what does he do with the pasuk of es nefesh b'olav ikach? The pasuk seemed to describe that the life of the owner from whom the theft takes place is, his life is taken. So the opinion that said it's the thief's life that is taken, he explains as follows. Be'olav dehashta. When the posuk said, es nefesh be'olav yikach, it means the nefesh, the life of the current possessor of it. The current possessor of the item is the thief. So this is in tune with that opinion that said that as a result of theft, the thief will lose his life. The idoch nami hoksiv, the opinion that said that in the course of withholding wages, you're taking away the life of the worker, of the one who is the victim. But hoksiv does it not say v'kova es koveim nefesh. Pasuk seems to describe that the Almighty will intervene and take away the life of the thief, not the victim. The Gemara explains, according to the opinion that said we're talking about the loss of the life of the victim, ma ta'am komar. The pasuk of kova es koveim nefesh is a pasuk that offers an explanation. Ma ta'am kova es koveim. Why is it that the Almighty will take away the life of the thief? Mishum denotlu nefesh. The emphasis is on this part, because they, the thief, took away the life of the victim by withholding his wages or by stealing from him. The thief, in fact, then will pay with his life. But the main point, as far as this opinion is concerned, nafsho denigzal, that is reflected in v'kova es koveim nefesh as well, as we just explained, namely that the thief will pay for his life because he took away the life of the victim by stealing or withholding his wages. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.